fastest growing podcast. It's the Legend. And the Loudmouth.
Anywhere you are, and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. That sound can only mean one thing, right? It's almost football season.
Absolutely.
In a weird, sort of strange way. That football season is upon us, and not just the Super Bowl, but as those of you who are denizens of the Dome know, this is always the opening kickoff song.
Right.
Jacked everybody up. We got Bison football in less than a month. We got spring practice underway, and we will get into all of the details regarding Bison football. We've got plenty of time between now and kickoff. We will be your source for FCS coverage during this, whatever we're going to call this season.
Right.
Between all of the issues with COVID, conference realignment, all the depth charts, the previews, who's coming back, who won't be there, who will be there, and schedule changes, everything else, all leading up to the opener with Youngstown State Sunday the 21st.
Yep.
So we are less than a month away from that. Can't wait for that to happen.
Absolutely.
Tonight's show...
It's what, one topic?
Is one topic. We'll talk about a couple things at the end, but It may need to stretch into two shows, but for some time now, in the last few months, we've, with the NFL season and everything else going on, we haven't dwelled on a lot of other topics other than football and,
right,
and everything. And tonight, with not a lot of big games to talk about, we'll get into Deshaun Watson and that trade demand, and we'll get into all that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's about talking about the Bison and the state of college football and the FCS.
Correct.
And the FBS.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, there's been a lot of chatter in local Fargo media about NDSU moving their football program to the Football Bowl subdivision level, the FBS, the big boys. All right. Now, the two main drivers of this conversation have been Mike McFeely, the Forum's columnist, Captain Clickbait, who
the
local columnist who is always trying to get clicks, and when he's not writing about political stuff, dabbles in watching football, and he's written multiple recent columns that support serious consideration for NDSU to move out of FCS and into the FBS level. Dom Izzo of WDAY, who hosts his Hot Mic show now, who was in the opposite opinion, has now come around, and he also has come out in favor of this pathway. Okay? So that's the starting point for how this has gotten into the media. You won't hear it talked about on Propaganda 1660, of course.
Right, right.
Because they won't talk about it.
Right.
And KFGO isn't going to talk about it.
No, of course not.
Because they're the UND station.
Right.
And nobody cares anyway,
right,
about UND.
Right.
As we've all established in the past.
Correct.
So, what we're going to do tonight is I am going to talk about why...
It's a dissertation.
The dissertation on why NDSU should not move to the FBS.
Not. N-O-T.
The premise of the argument is not. NDSU should stay exactly where it is, and I will tell you why.
With my commentaries.
With Grant, providing my sounding board for if I'm totally full of shit, partially full of shit, or right on the money. Now, I know which is the correct answer, but I'm keeping an open mind.
Okay.
Keep in mind, both of the individuals I just mentioned in my opening here, McFeely and Izzo, and credit to McFeely, while I think, there are a lot of things I think about Mike McFeely. I think he's a hypocrite, I think he is a clickbaiter, and I think he's what every annoying columnist generally should be.
Right.
Trolling for clicks on Twitter and trying to get attention and rile up the fan base, and that's okay, that's his job.
Right.
I get it. McFeely, as he's himself acknowledged, was not a proponent of the Bison going to the Division I level at all in the early 2000s. Okay. Obviously, that viewpoint hasn't held up real well over the years. All right?
Shifted a little bit.
20 years ago, Mike said that we should stay Division II and continue to reap the benefits of beating the shit out of Ferris State and, you know, Pittsburgh State and all those
Morningside
and all those other wonderful schools of the NCC days.
Right.
Izzo, just a few years ago, was a big proponent of NDSU staying in the FCS. And as I mentioned before, Dom is about as down the middle as you can get, but he's very well researched in the topic of the FCS, which I do. Dom's claims are rooted mostly in fact, and I respect his opinion as an FCS great mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, one of the biggest points that I have heard for the Bison to go from FCS to FBS,
there you go,
is the recent success of teams that have made this jump in the relatively short past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are several schools specifically that are mentioned. All right, and I'm not going to go to the fraudulent Roosters right away
because
we've beaten that to death. But I'll get that to the end here when we get a little further along. Okay. First of all, let's talk about our good friends from Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Okay. We all remember the great Georgia Southern days where Georgia Southern, who won 6 titles at the FCS level, and they made 19 playoff appearances in the FCS 1AA. I'll use the terms interchangeably.
Right.
All right. As you recall, the last two of those appearances in the playoffs, however, was a defeat at the hands of a certain team known as the Bison.
The Bison.
You remember 35-7 in 2011, don't you?
Damn right I do. I wasn't there, but I remember it.
You weren't there?
I don't think I was.
Oh, why were you not at that game?
I think I've been in every playoff game since 2012.
Why would you not have gone in 2011? Are you sure?
I was pretty young. I was 6 years old.
Did your mother go to that game?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I think the New Hampshire game I wasn't at.
Okay.
I don't think I was at that one either.
Well, 2012, of course, is the game everyone remembers.
Oh, is that the best game in Dome history?
That's a whole separate show.
It's pretty close.
It'd be tough to top the intensity and the fourth down run, the blocked field goal, our boy Drew Ruggles, who we continue to
be
savage on this show for forever.
Love you, Drew.
Love you, Drew. So the Eagles of Georgia Southern, that was the last time they played in the playoffs.
That was their last appearance?
That was the last appearance
really?
They had, yep. 2014, they win FBS, and they joined the Sun Belt. Check me if I'm wrong on the Georgia Southern 2013. I don't think they made the playoffs
also
after that.
Also, signed on Drew Ruggles. He's now plays for the Florida Tropics of the Major Arena Soccer League.
Oh, he's playing soccer.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Well, he played for the Georgia Southern soccer team, so...
Did he? Is he seriously playing soccer?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, yeah.
He's still playing soccer. You keep talking, we'll find out.
No, I'm interested to hear more what Drew Ruggles is doing
these
days.
That was it.
I didn't realize he was even still. Now, remind me, that was the game with, was it J-Bo Shaw was the quarterback?
For which game?
For the second game?
The second game was Jerick McKinnon.
Jerick McKinnon, I'm sorry. J-Bo was in the first game.
Yes.
And Jerick McKinnon was the second.
J-Bo Shaw.
J-Bo Shaw.
You couldn't name him J-Shaw or Bo-Shaw. They had to pick.
They picked J-Bo
Shaw. Yeah, they picked the middle.
But, anyway, So I'm just checking the playoff bracket to make sure I didn't speak out of school there. Was that the last playoff
appearance? I want to say it was the last appearance, but I'm looking.
Pretty sure it wasn't. I don't see him in the bracket for that year.
No,
at all.
I don't either.
Okay, so just to make sure I have my facts straight there. Okay, so we move on. And so did the Eagles. So they went to the Sun Belt, which is where all these FCS teams
go to die.
go to die and play each other. Okay. So Willie Fritz, you remember Willie?
I do.
Willie from Sam Houston State fame, who lost the first two title games against the Bison.
Thanks.
You got beat by everybody's been beat by the Bison.
No, I'm not gonna say it's in this story. Thanks, Willie.
So Willie helped the transition when Jeff Monken left to go to Army. All right.
He went to Georgia Southern.
Jeff Monken went to Army, yeah. So that caused Willie Fritz to go to Georgia Southern.
Okay.
With the transition. Okay. They were 9-3 in their first year, and they won the Sun Belt. Okay. Yeah. That should tell you right off the bat
the quality of
league the Sun Belt is.
Crap. Okay.
It's garbage. They beat no team of relevance that you would care about in that first year. They lost to North Carolina State, actually, in their...
So a good team.
Good team.
So somewhat good team.
They lost to Georgia Tech that year, and they lost to Navy. Okay.
Navy, for the...
In 2015, they won the Go Daddy Bowl.
Go Daddy Go.
Against Bowling Green. Mac School.
Yeah. The gold, the Eagles.
And then Willie moved on to Greener Pastures and went to coach Tulane.
the Greener Pastures.
No team of relevance that they beat in that year either. They finished third in the Sun Belt. They lost to West Virginia. They lost to Appalachian State. They lost to Georgia.
God.
And then they lost to Georgia State just for good
measure. Oh, God.
Seriously.
Good God.
The next two seasons were not as good. 5-8. And then they went 2-10 in 2017, including losing to New Hampshire.
That's
not good. 10-3 in 2018. They won the Camellia Bowl again against a MAC school, Eastern Michigan.
Who cares? It's Eastern
Michigan. 7-6 in 2019, losing the Cure Bowl to my boys from Liberty.
Liberty.
And this year they went 8-5 and won the Nolens Bowl.
The Nolens Bowl?
Against La Tech.
Okay.
Notice of absent of any of those names that I mentioned, Grant. Georgia Southern hasn't won a single game against a Power 5 opponent.
So they've won a damn thing.
They are 0-11 in the time span that I just mentioned from when they went FBS to now. They have not beaten a Power 5 opponent in 11 tries.
So they haven't won a damn thing.
They haven't. It goes on. They haven't beaten a top 25 team, not in their own conference, since making the transition to FBS. Okay? And again, look at who their bowl wins are against. Bowling Green, Eastern Michigan, losing to Liberty. Garbage programs. All of them are garbage programs. How about our friends from Appalachian State?
They were pretty good.
They were a pretty good team. Three straight national championships at the FCS level from 05 to 07.
They beat that Michigan team. They're pretty good, right?
They did. Now, everybody knows about the Michigan, and they went to the FCS playoffs 20 times. They won the title that year. They beat Michigan.
They were a perennial FCS power. I mean, they were everything you wanted an FCS team to be.
It's the greatest three-year run prior to NDSU.
They were the Bison pre-Bison with their offense.
And they had weapons. They were deep.
Armani Edwards
was amazing. They had everything that they needed. But they, too, decided to make the jump.
But with them, that makes more sense. Because they had to sustain the thing of dominance going. With Georgia Southern, they hadn't won a title in, 15 years?
Maybe so, but you can't doubt the historical Georgia Southern background.
Right, I mean, but they had a bunch of recent success, though. So it would make sense. Well, but it's like, okay, I can see why you would want
to
make a jump.
App State went to more playoffs than Georgia Southern did. But they moved at the same time. So they went into the Sun Belt, again, where good teams go to die.
In what year?
And this was in 2014.
Really?
Same, yep.
Really?
Yep.
I thought, because you never heard of them after, 2010. You just never heard of App State in football after that.
Well, they just weren't good enough.
Right. I mean, it's just like, because when the Bison started making the playoffs, they disappeared.
So in the next round of games, they went in the Sun Belt. They've had actually, their success rate is much better than Georgia Southern's.
Which is not
they've had me. They've had a winning record every year at the FBS level.
Very good.
They played in a bowl game every year since 15.
Very nice.
Two Camellia Bowl wins.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going to tell you who they're against.
MAC schools.
MAC schools. Ohio.
Oh, God.
And Toledo.
Oh, God. That's worse.
They beat Toledo again in the Dollar General Bowl in 17.
So they beat the Bobcats and the Rockets. That's how they beat.
And then they beat... They went to the Nolens Bowl a couple times. Beat Middle Tennessee. And the Blazers from UAB.
There you go. And then dropped the program. And then reinstated the program.
And then this year they wound up in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, being played in the fraudulent Rooster Stadium. And they beat the mighty mean, your boys, the Mean Green from North Texas. Now, unlike Georgia Southern, App State's actually got a little bit of credibility. They are two and six against the Power Five.
Okay. That's better.
North Carolina and South Carolina in the same year.
There you go.
Not a bad run. That was the best team they've had. But again, Camellia Bowl, Dollar General Bowl, New Orleans Bowl, Beach Bowl. Again, what were the ones that Georgia Southern went to? The GoDaddy Bowl. The Camellia Bowl.
Couldn't even call it the Mediocre
the
Bowl.
The Cure Bowl. The New Orleans Bowl.
Mediocre Bowl.
Do any people care about these games?
Just Vegas guys.
Let's talk about the fraudulent Roosters. You know, I love talking about the fraudulent Roosters for an extensive period of time.
Yeah.
However, briefly to interrupt the fraudulent Rooster discussion. The Wild have won. As we're on the air here.
No.
Oh, you want me to keep going with this?
No,
you do like this.
I do like this stuff.
Wild Leve is next.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Okay.
Had to get that in because the Wild, by the way, with the greatest blood trail ever I've seen in the Kings guy tonight. He got hit in the face with a puck, and while I don't advocate that, it was truly a sight to behold. He bled like literally the entire way.
It was like I want to see it again, but I don't want to see it again. That's what that kind of was.
All right. Back to the fraudulent Roosters.
Back to serious business here.
So the fraudulent Roosters win FBS, and they haven't been as successful as you may have heard. This is why they're fraudulent. In their first year in FBS, they got their ass kicked by Western Illinois.
Oh boy,
52-10.
Excuse me,
52-10. Western Illinois, the armpit of the valley, with our buddies from Macomb at the Macomb Country Club looking on. Seriously. Eating at the Macomb Perkins or whatever we talked about the other night.
That ice cream shop, I think.
So in 2018, they go 5-7 and they lose to South Carolina. Now, of course, in 2019, they got their first Power Five win against Kansas. Who hasn't beaten Kansas?
The Bison have beaten Kansas.
Everybody beats Kansas,
including Kansas.
So 2020, they go 11-1. Everybody has a big boner about them beating Kansas and BYU. And, of course, then they go and screw up the Cure Bowl and lose to our boys from Liberty.
And they take a dump in the...
Right. fraudulent program. So, they have two Power 5 wins, and they're both against dog shit Big 12 armpit Kansas.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, you'll forgive me if my credibility and giving them much credence to those wins... Not really. Though.
When the Bison mean better competition than that, No.
Bison, again, in just the time that they have seen Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, and Coastal Carolina all move up, the Bison, of course, beat Iowa State in 14. They beat Iowa in 16.
Coming off an undefeated Big Ten season.
So they've got just as many Power 5 wins as these FBS schools do.
And
let's not forget, again...
The Oregon one that they should have won.
Well, but let's not forget, they already had Power 5 wins in 07 and 11 against the Gophers.
Against the Gophers.
They beat Kansas like everybody else.
Yep.
And, of course, the Kansas State game.
Colorado State win.
Well, but that's not a Power 5.
Right, but it's an FBS win.
But it's an FBS win. But that's... just a minute.
Okay.
But there are six Those are six Power 5 wins.
They won them all
in those games.
On the road.
Let's also not forget, like you said, Colorado State, where they dominated.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the Ball State win in 06, which was the first FBS win.
Yep.
And 07 against the Central Michigan team with two guys you may have heard of.
And Junior Brown and J.J. Watt. Those guys are pretty good.
Those are pretty good.
But don't forget that Kansas State win. They were the defending Big 12 champions of the previous season.
Yep.
They beat Texas in the Big 12
title
game.
And that was the transitional year.
And I looked at this. If K-State was ranked to begin that year, they weren't even ranked, which surprised me.
Well, they had a lot of they lost a lot.
Right, but they were ranked fourth after that season. Then they were even ranked in the top 25. I'm like, but they won the Big 12 the previous year. They played in the Fiesta Bowl the previous season.
It doesn't really matter what you did the previous year. Look at LSU. They were ranked and they got
But like in the preseason poll, they were still ranked in the top 10.
We're going to have to do a whole other show on your obsession with the preseason polls, by the way.
I don't have an obsession with it. I'm just stating where they were.
All right. So, that begs the question. Why, if we have beaten the same number of Power 5 teams, and then more, and you're playing in bowl games like the GoDaddy Bowl, which the sponsors are, which is the host of our website, by the way, so I probably shouldn't be shitting on the GoDaddy people.
Thanks, GoDaddy.
But the New Orleans Bowl people, or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. The R&O carrier.
Let me, as you know, I have a huge for the Sagarin ratings.
Yes.
The greatest ranking system of anything, because what the Sagarin ratings do is they take two teams and compare what the point spread should be based on their interactions and games with other opponents. I did not use the 2021 rankings because it's not a real fair comparison of a data set.
Right.
Because you have teams that canceled, didn't play, only played a few. I threw that out. I took the 2020 January Sagarin ratings after the national title game.
Had been played.
With LSU victory.
Beisman Jumu, yeah.
Right. Well, and then after LSU because that was
right.
the final game.
Right,
game.
Right, right.
Let me tell you what the Sagarin ratings, just for some comparisons here, okay? The Sun Belt is the worst conference in the FBS level. Only the MAC Eastern Division and Conference USA's Western Division are worse, but combined, the Sun Belt is horrible. Okay? Now, full credit to Appalachian State, they were 25th in the Sagarin in 2020.
Good for you.
The Bison, for comparison, were 31. JMU, again for comparison, was 50. Mm. Georgia Southern was 92.
Ooh.
Coastal was 128.
Ouch.
Okay, that was, now again, that's the previous football season.
Right.
For comparative purposes, let's take a look at the Sun Belt East. Okay. In addition to the Fraudulent Roosters, App State, and Georgia Southern, they had the likes of Georgia State, which is 119th, and the Mighty Men of Troy, 100. The Western Division of the Sun Belt.
Is any better?
No. In fact, it's borderline horrible.
Okay.
Louisiana's in there at 43.
They were somewhat good, though.
Arkansas State was 89. Louisiana Monroe, 112. Texas State, 152. Alabama, Southern version, South Alabama,
USA,
158.
Okay? That's brutal.
For evidence of comparison, I take you back, Grant, to the 2020 Missouri Valley Football Conference Sagarin ratings.
Which is?
NDSU at 31.
Yep.
South Dakota State at 95.
Okay.
Again, better than almost every team I just read, and pretty on par with Arkansas State.
Mm-hmm.
UNI at 104. Again,
that's
most of these
that's
teams.
That's unfair. That'd be harder than that.
Illinois State, 122.
Fair.
Southern Illinois, 129.
Fair.
USD, 145.
Fair.
Youngstown, 154.
Fair.
Now, I'm at the very top of the bottom of the middle, if you would.
The bottom of the middle.
Yeah, it's the bottom of the middle.
I get it.
But Youngstown at 154 is still better than South Alabama at 158. That's the equivalent. Okay.
So the bottom of the valley is better than
The middle. That's the bottom middle of the valley. Because then it goes to Indiana State.
Oh, right, right. Yeah,
164 right. is Indiana State, right?
Yeah.
So that's not much worse than South Alabama. Now, then you have Missouri State at 208 and Western Illinois at 211.
What happened to them?
They're horrible.
Sean McGuire.
But, so, if you take out, and again, now that's not a totally fair comparison either, because the Valley is a bigger conference.
True.
But if you look at those teams, there's not a lot of difference in those rankings. The Valley is the best conference in FCS. We all know this, and the numbers bear it out.
The CAA people cannot fight us on this, or the Big Sky people.
No, that's an indisputable fact.
I mean, the CAA had, what, six or seven teams in the playoffs a couple years ago? But almost all of them lost in the second round.
Right.
In the first or second round.
So there's no question from top to bottom the depth is unquestioned.
Yeah.
So the next point that Mr. McFeely wrote about is that the Mountain West is going to lose Boise State. Very possible.
More likely, yes. That's
that will occur.
Where are they going to go, though?
Well, that's the question, is if they go to the American Athletic Conference.
Why would you go there?
Well, it's a question for another day.
Sorry, but...
But Boise is unhappy with the Mountain West and how much it limits what they could put their national brand on display.
That's a fair argument.
Just to give you some idea last year what the Sagarin ratings were for... Just to give, again, context to the Sagarin ratings. They rate all Division I football teams, FCS and FBS. Mountain West, 2020, again, last full completed season pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Air Force, 29. Boise, 32. Wyoming, Craig Ball Country, 64. Utah State, 81. Colorado State, 103. New Mexico, 157. Other division. San Diego State, 51. Hawaii, 68. Fresno, 94. Nevada, 111. San Jose, 114. UNLV, 127. Okay. Bison would be better than all of them but one, Air Force. And that would be basically an even game.
Mm-hmm.
Bison would win most of, be favored to win most of those. South Dakota State could probably hold its own in that.
Yeah.
UNI probably holds its mm-hmm. own in that. Illinois State, probably a bottom feeder.
If they had James Robinson, yeah.
Yeah, though, with that team? Yep. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
So, that's what you're moving into. Let me ask you something, Grant. How excited do you get thinking about Friday night Mountain West football, NDSU against Nevada? Let's go to Reno and play.
Yeah, but to the sports writers, that sounds amazing. Let's go to Reno.
You know McFeely would love to go to Reno.
And then
Reno.
We'll go to Vegas for the weekend. It'd be great.
Well, then you get to play UNLV.
Right.
So you can go to Vegas twice.
Woohoo!
You can go to Reno, which is the small town Vegas.
Yeah.
Then you can go to Do You Know the Way to San Jose. You know, that's an old song.
It'd be a great trip to California for McFeely.
Nobody wants to go to Fresno.
Yeah, it's the middle of nowhere.
David Carr country, by the way.
Well, let's see.
No.
The Cars and Devontae Adams and Paul George.
I will also fully acknowledge that the greatest advantage of NDSU moving to the FBS and going to the Mountain West would be to go play in Hawaii. Sign me up for that right now.
That would be great.
Sign me up
Please
for that
take
right
me
now.
If we're going to a game, that's the guy I want to go to. Go to Hawaii.
We're
going to
go to Hawaii. But does it really fire you up to play Hawaii on a weekend in the Dome?
No,
after the sixth time you kick the shit out of them, does it
matter? But if he went up there routinely, that'd be great. I'm not going to lie to you. That'd be fun.
And then San Diego, which is always great to play. So, I asked the question of, does the fan base get a big out of that? Is it better to kick the shit out of New Mexico or Youngstown? They're basically the same program
right.
when it comes to ratings.
But it just seems like with fans in general for the Bison, it's like, but I can watch it on TV. I don't want to go to a game. Why would I want to go to a game? I can watch them beat the crap out of Youngstown by 30 points on my...
They're going to beat New Mexico by the same score.
Right.
So, if you move up, what do you gain? What do you gain by kicking the shit out of New Mexico or Youngstown? Does it matter?
To me, what do you want more? The money or
well,
but the money drives everything.
Are you generating any buzz by playing Utah State?
And what national recognition do you get from beating them?
Right.
Nothing.
Now, the only game in the Mountain, there are several intriguing Mountain West. I'd love to see the Bison play another option team. You know, I love the Air Force.
I want to see him play Boise State.
So and it'll be, well, but Boise won't be in this scenario.
Right, but I mean,
so you can't say that.
I'm just saying. it'd be a fun game to
watch. Wyoming would be fun because, again, you assume Bull is still there. Now, that would be the ultimate FU game right there.
If you just go back up there and beat them.
If you go and beat them.
In his own backyard. Beat the snot out of Wyoming. In the middle of nowhere.
Colorado State's boring. We beat the crap out of them.
22-7 was not showing enough.
New Mexico was boring.
Yeah.
San Diego State's boring.
UNLV just won the first conference game in like 3 years.
Yeah, we watched that one. Yep.
We broke down the Bellagio for me and everything. Right. Great.
So, I don't see any reason the fan base would get that excited. And after the honeymoon period of a few years, like, oh, we get to go play in Colorado Springs against Air Force. Yay!
Let's go Hawaii!
Yeah, well, but I don't see, again, after a while, the fan base doesn't get excited to see Indiana State come to town anymore. They're boring and they suck. New Mexico's boring and they suck. UNLV's boring and they suck. What possible benefit is there to bringing a team like that in there? Your fan base isn't going to travel 20,000 people to every road game out there.
Well, I mean, think about what the buys and play. It's the Valley, right? So you only have to travel a couple hours to go to
I love the Macomb Country Club. But you think about the road trips in the Valley, you know, Brookings, Cedar Falls. Yeah, I realize they're not as fun to go to. The purpose of this isn't to provide columnists with entertainment and nice backdrops for games.
It's to kick everybody win a it's national to win. Title. It's to win a national title.
So, let's extend that one step further. Rivalries.
Absolutely.
What happens to them?
What happened to the UND and DSU rivalry?
You just spent a ton of years where you did not have the Bison and the Squawks playing football.
And they just got back together. Now you want to move it again?
You're of the age where you have not seen in your life. You have seen how many Bison Squawks games?
I want to say three.
Three, right?
I think it's three.
Because it's been one and then the non-conference.
2015, last 2015. Did they play in 18?
I think that's maybe two games.
18 and then 19. I think they played in 18.
Right. So, you are now at the age where, again, essentially when you were born is when that rivalry stopped, and now it has restarted.
Right.
You went 15 years, for all practical purposes, without that, or 10 years, without that game being played. Mm-hmm. And now you want to throw it away. South Dakota State.
They are the rival.
Is a rival.
They are the team I want to kill more than anybody else.
Right.
It's always the Rabbits.
And everybody knows it.
And every
sport. You and I. Same thing. I think there's an intensity.
I think it's more an intensity for you and I because they try to be the Bison because they beat them.
But it used to be the other way around.
Right. They used to kick the crap out of the Bison.
I mean, they embarrassed the Bison so significantly that it basically caused Bull to change the entire coaching program.
You and I is what the Bison. The Bison are exactly what UNI was. They did it better. That's absolutely right. It's just people forget that UNI kicked the crap out of the Bison 6 years ago. It was now. I mean, that's a long time ago. Wentz was the quarterback.
Yeah, 23 and the winning streak.
23-3. I mean, it's just people forget that game. They blow it aside because they won the national championship. Well, that was the game where it's like, damn, maybe we aren't as good as we think we are.
To me, that game. In the last decade, I don't think I've seen a Bison team get dominated. Even the semifinal
against
JMU,
at least it was tied at 17.
Wasn't that bad. The Bison lost every single phase of that game, and never really felt like they were going to come back.
It's the only
time in the last, honestly, 10 years that I can remember a Bison team being down like that, and I'm thinking they got no shot.
But I can't remember who their quarterback was. He was some... He was some short, really fast quarterback. I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah,
it wasn't Cole Morgan. It was somebody else. But it was just, and they still had David Johnson. It was his senior year that year.
And Kilfoy is the one that picked off.
Yeah, I hated that guy. And it's just, they were just loaded. And the fact that the Bison never faced him in the playoffs or even got to the title game, I'm like, you and I squandered a lot of chances to get to title games. They've only been to one.
So, if you move up,
yep,
who are you going to play? I mean, who's going to be your rivalry game that draws everybody? There isn't going to be one.
I mean, if there was, they moved out. So, I mean, in Boise State. So, who is your rival?
You don't have a rival. And in college football, as much as anything,
rivalries matter.
It's about rivalries.
Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn.
You can list them all. trophy games, all that stuff.
The Jackson buys is the biggest FCS game of the year. I mean, it is. It's just the way it is.
It's gone, and that's gone if you move.
Right.
Okay? Let's extend this a little bit further.
Okay.
TV revenue.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay? You have, at this point, if you're, and McFeely's scenario outlines the fact that the Bison would have to be what would be a football-only member of the Mountain
West. Which is probably what's gonna, what would happen.
Because geographically, that makes sense. The Bison have no interest in moving out of the Summit for basketball. It's a ticket to the dance every year.
Right.
It's regionally competitive. Mm-hmm. I think that all works.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with that.
But now we have to talk about money.
Right.
In the Mountain West, the average football budget is $14 million per team.
Mm-hmm.
Average.
Average.
Now, this is from a couple years ago, which is the measuring
stick. But it's about where it is now.
So. The Bison are at six.
Six.
Average is 14. Colorado six. State spends the most, and they are 22.
They spend the most?
So in order to get to the middle of the pack in spending, so it's a resource issue, you have to find $8 million.
Where are you going to find the $8 million?
You're not going to get it all through TV money, because TV money, you may get a few million out of that, but again, your piece of the pie is lower. And consider that the Bison's current media contract pays them $500,000 a year.
That's it?
And it's up.
Uh-oh. So it means a local station's got to fight over who wants it.
Right. And I have a feeling the dollar figure is going to be higher than 500. Now.
And would you guess at least a million?
No, I don't think
750?
So. 750? I think it'd be closer to 750, but I don't know how high. I don't know how much media budget there is. Now, you also have to consider who your players are. KFGO isn't. And then you have the TV rights, which
NBC North Dakota held.
Right. And they let's all face it. We all think they do a horseshit job covering the games anyway.
I don't think they do a horrible job. I mean...
Please don't make a Lee Timmerman Telestrator reference here.
LT's toy. Yeah. And that's a cringeworthy joke. What is this like? But Brian Shawn does a great job doing games, okay? I like it. If you kept him in the booth, I'd be totally satisfied whoever's color guy.
No, I enjoy the Peterson Farm Seed kickoffs. I do. I do.
But, I mean, because I hear it routinely, but like...
Well, and unless the Pro Seed guy is going to keep spending money. I mean, the whole Bison game is one big seed commercial.
I mean, that's true.
Thunder Seed. I
mean, you could build a drinking game around Thunder Seed,
Peterson Pretty Farm sure Seed. It's already been done. Yeah. You'll learn that when you get
you
older.
Develop a drinking
game. Now, also, understand that your donor base then has to go up $8
million. Where are you going to find that?
We're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a situation of economic uncertainty. Now, by the time this would happen, presumably that would go away. But there is going to be several years of deficits in these athletic programs because of what we're going through right now.
Yep.
You and I watched the Bison whoop up on Denver here this last week.
Yep.
And in front of 1,500, maybe?
Yeah, about that at the Shack.
If that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the budgets of these athletic programs just getting devastated.
Like Denver, for instance, who are just garbage.
And it already made teams that are struggling to compete, it put them in an even worse case scenario.
Right.
So, I question whether the donor base can support a jump to that level. Especially if the jump to the next level and the reward for it is going to be the New Orleans Bowl.
Right.
Which goes to my last point here of this part. You have, if you do everything right, if you beat everybody, you beat a big Power 5 school, you win all your conference games, the best you're going to do, the best, is you're going to get a bowl game against a friggin' MAC school. But is that the best you can do?
And I counter it, but people are going to say, but what if you get into the New Year's Six bowl game?
You have no chance. You know why? Because the group of five conferences are so superior. Cincinnati and those type of schools.
The American is where it's
The American
at.
Is the group of five top. If you look at the group of five, the American Conference is your top rung.
Because if you remember, the group of five... Remember that Fiesta Bowl game where it was just Boise State and TCU, when TCU was a Mountain West school?
Yep.
They were some group of five school. That was the last big Group of Five battle that happened. I mean, TCU, I think, was ranked third that year. They ranked third 1 year in the final poll.
Yeah,
we're like, oh, they should have made the title game.
So let's just clarify what we mean by the Group of Five. Okay, Group of Five is the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, the MAC, the Mountain West, and the Sun Belt. We've already discussed how much garbage the Sun Belt is, and we've already discussed the MAC playing Tuesday night football. There's no way that the Bison are going to move up and play Kent State on Tuesday night in front of on ESPN. Ain't happening.
No.
Okay?
Even if it was ESPN.
No. So, that's your Group of Five. Okay? So, just so we're all clear about what we're talking about. They don't have an act. If you were going to say, again, the equivalent to this is the basketball mid-major.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Summit League.
Mm-hmm.
Except in football.
Right.
Okay? So, we're all on the same page about what we're talking about that. The Group of Five in the college football playoff is a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they're guaranteed a seat at the table at is that they get their highest-ranked team into a New Year's Six.
And then but this happens every single year in a New Year's Six bowl game, whichever game it happens to be. Like this year, so Cincinnati and Georgia. Cincinnati was whooping up on Georgia. They're really beating Georgia down for about half of that game. In the second half, we looked at each other like, Georgia's going to win this game. We're like, there's no way in hell Georgia's not going to win this football game. Because just the way Georgia, because once they won, like, these guys actually think they can beat us. Okay, they instantly went right back down and won that game.
Yeah.
If that's the best the Group of Five has, what else could I do? I mean, but what if I told you this? What if we expand the playoff?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Well, let's take a look at the power of at the Group of Five schools. You had Boise in 2014. They went in and beat Arizona. Who cares? Yeah. In the Fiesta Bowl. Who cares?
Arizona?
Houston. Yeah, Houston. Yeah, Arizona. Okay. Boise beat Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl in 2014.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. 2015, Houston gets in. A team that probably, if they would have run out, might have had a shot.
Yeah.
But they went in and beat Florida State.
Yeah, pounded Florida State. Yeah. A Peach Bowl game.
If you remember back in the PJ Fleck era.
Oh, boy.
Wisconsin beat Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. Remember when Western Michigan was actually good?
They were in the Cotton Bowl?
In the Cotton Bowl, because they were the Group of Five qualifier.
Oh, God.
We all remember the 2017 national champions from Central Florida.
Yes, they beat Auburn, yep.
And in 2018, we had the privilege of watching
Joe Burrow just torture him.
Right, and beat him again.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, we had Memphis in a 53-39 shootout loss.
With Penn State.
Yep.
Okay.
And then this last year in 2020, we had Cincinnati with the Georgia game you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the best you can do is get into a New Year's Six bowl game and win. Okay. And that's if every circumstance breaks your way, you can get in that game. And so far, you know how many times that's happened? Zero. Okay? Zero.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the Bison and you have no shot to get there,
why go?
Why go? You have the following factors, as I just mentioned. Zero fan base interest in going to the Camellia Bowl for the third year in a row and kicking the shit out of Western Michigan.
Correct.
There is zero additional TV revenue to make up for your new expenses. And it's going to cost you at minimum, and there's obviously a lot more cost. You've got stadium renovations to bring it up.
Yep.
You've got other things you have to get done. It's a minimum of $8 million. Let's say that's double it. Let's say it's 15. We'll say 16.
For dome renovations alone.
Let's just say $15 million.
$15 million is a fair
And that you have to get not just 1 year.
Right.
Every single year. You lose your rivalry games, which drive revenue to the box office. People coming to games.
Mm-hmm.
Your ticket prices are going to have to go up, already sucking more money out, because your travel costs just went way up. Because
mm-hmm.
no matter what we say, the 58104 is a bit geographically isolated.
Yeah.
The closest distance you have to somebody is enormous.
I remember, I think it was when Ennis was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he was like, we wanted to play games, but because of our geographic location, we can't have bus trips to play people. And I'm like, he's right. And didn't Nebraska maybe want to play a game with us, but the Big Ten wouldn't allow it? And
Bison would have beaten the shit.
Oh, I know that, but it's just like, but they can't play people. If the Bison were to play a non-conference game, you have to go to the Dome first before they'll go out to Towson, which they're going to do in a couple of years. I mean, they're just so geographically challenged that if they'll go to the Northeast, that's a big travel expense.
So, with that being said, if you have no shot, if the best you can do in 20 out of 19 out of 20 years is get into the Cure Bowl.
And maybe
play a MAC school.
And maybe 1 year break into the New Year's Six.
And that's incredibly unlikely. And you have zero shot of being in the playoffs.
With the Mountain West, none.
Zero chance. So you're going to pay additional to move up, to play teams that you already can beat and would gain no additional benefit by beating. You would lose your rivalries and you would have no chance to win a national championship. Does that sound like a good idea to you?
No, it doesn't. And back to the TV stuff for a second. Those games with the Mountain West, they're on CBS and they're on ESPN. They're buried late in the evening.
Yeah, that's the kind of game you and I watch after a long day.
Let me think of something like, oh, wait, that's right. That Illinois State playoff game. What did that come after? Oh, right, College Game Day. What they were the lead-in after College Game Day was that playoff game. You have the prime early afternoon slot on the mothership playing a great televised game with the best FCS team of all time and a team like Illinois State, which is a pretty good name in its own right in the FCS. That's better than Air Force and Colorado State going at it on a late Saturday night.
On CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, which no one's going to watch.
By the way, those games are unrated. They're so low that they don't even get a rating. And we can go into that more in detail later.
I'm just stating the point that ESPN likes the Bison enough already, and they've already done so many games on ESPN and ABC, that ESPN is willing to have them come after College Game Day.
But Colin, the Bison are a national brand. They'll bring eyeballs to the TV and FBS.
You sure about that?
I wish it was that true.
I wish it was too. But
it ain't.
The Bison are such a national... I'm not saying they're the Boise State of the FCS, because I think... Which brand is bigger in your opinion? The Bison or Boise State? Have they eclipsed Boise State?
I think Boise's problem is they haven't been as relevant on the radar in the last few years.
The
profile of NDSU was raised dramatically with Carson Wentz's drafting.
And, that's true.
And
might not rise anymore with Trey Lance's draft.
Beating Iowa was you won all the championships. You built up to that moment where Wentz gets taken, and then everybody's heard of North Dakota State, for the most part.
Right.
Lance will do that again this year.
And Bolson.
Right.
The left tackle.
And Raidens and those guys. The brand has been built over a solid 15-year period. Okay. So, the last part of this conversation then for this.
This part.
Yep.
Two-part.
Well, I don't know if it'll be two-part or not. I think I got most through everything.
Okay, good.
So, the last segment. So what do you do? Do you sit and wait? Yes. Here's why.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. The Knight Commission.
Ah, yes.
Everybody heard of the Knight Commission? The
Bobby Knight Commission.
If you have, it is not the Bobby
Knight Commission. Kidding.
Let me explain briefly what the Knight Commission
is. Please.
Knight Commission is a group of former college administrators, current college presidents, athletic directors, and... I would say dignitaries.
So all the higher ups at universities and colleges in the United States.
Many of them. There are several that are well represented, including the president of Bob Morris is one of them. The commission is chaired by three people. Arne Duncan, who used to be the Secretary of Education in the U.S.
Right.
Len Elmore, who you've heard do college basketball games on CBS, who's an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Nancy Zimpher. She is the state of New York's emeritus chancellor. So you've got pretty heavy hitters there.
Okay.
The members of the commission, the one you've all heard of is Paul Tagliabue.
Nice.
The former commissioner of the NFL, post Pete Rozelle.
Why is he the chairman?
The Knight Commission did a study and recommended in December that the NCAA's, essentially, they don't say the term Power Five, but we all know they're talking about it,
mm-hmm.
that the Power Five schools should create a new entity completely independent of the NCAA and completely funded by the revenues from the college football playoff.
Amen.
To govern the FBS as we know it now.
Amen.
The NCAA would take over administration of all football below that level. So, let's be clear. Any issues related to the Power Five, education of athletes, health, safety, revenue distribution, litigation, eligibility and enforcement. The big schools get out of the thumb of the NCAA and do their own thing. Football only.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just a different sport to Mr.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness will fund everything else below that level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay?
So you don't change the college basketball structure.
Because they make as much as the NFL postseason
right.
does. So.
So they call it, they in their proposal, the Knight Commission uses an acronym, the NCFA, so the National College Football Association. That's where your SEC, Big 12, Big 10,
Pac-12,
Power 5 school goes there.
Mm-hmm.
The group of five essentially slides into what is now the FCS level.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got something. Because here's what you do. At this point, there is now a clear opportunity to play for a national championship. If this unfolds in that manner, and I've said this before, you've heard it on the show, that I, before the Knight Commission came out, I have always said that in the next 10 to 20 years, the unsustainability of the NCAA's current model will force a decision exactly like the Knight Commission is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Alabama and LSU and the Ohio States of the world,
Clemson,
will not want to screw around with the Byzantine regulations of the NCAA. They will say, screw it, we're going to do our own thing. They're going to do this, and they're going to break away.
And that's when Alabama-Clemson 5 is okay.
Right. And then they can talk amongst themselves, as they say.
Mm-hmm. That's
meanwhile, the group of five schools, who realistically have no seat at the table
then
anyway.
Why are they there anyway?
Exactly. But this will give them a reason for relevance. Because now, the group of five becomes the FCS. And that's where we're headed. Is the group of five and the top levels of FCS coming together. You keep the same playoff structure you have now with the conferences. This will also kick the bottom feeder crap out of the FCS level, because let's be honest.
You're dropping down to D2.
A lot of these teams don't belong in D1 FCS
Indiana
football.
Indiana State, Western.
Get rid of the Pioneer League and put them in D2 where they belong.
Yeah.
Get rid of the Northeastern schools that don't belong. Get rid of some of these Southern, this conglomeration and amalgamation of the WAC and the Atlantic Sun and all this bullshit that they're doing right now, Dixie State, they don't belong at that level anyway.
True.
Get them out of there. And if you do that,
mm-hmm.
and you have a 24-team playoff with a first-round game of Wyoming and NDSU, now I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the ability to compete for a championship should not be understated. This isn't like March Madness where the Bison get in and play Duke, and you know they have no shot, even if they were to upset Duke.
But unlike that.
Are they going to go through and win the national title? No.
At some point, maybe your team will, but that's a long time.
But that's actually almost realistically happened. Remember, VCU got all the way there.
Loyola Chicago got to the final. That can happen. It is possible.
But
that's possible.
But without going into the obvious reasons of different type of game, the three-point shot, da-da-da-da, football is a game about depth. If you don't have it, and the Bison do it to FCS teams every year, when the Bison come in and train-wreck teams like Bob Morris,
right.
and train-wreck these teams, it's because they're simply deeper and deeper and deeper.
Because, I mean, regular Bison backup lines could easily start from...
They crush the Albanys of the world.
For about three-quarters of the FCS.
Right. So... And let's be honest, if you look at what is going on in this year right now with teams just opting out of the pandemic.
I mean, they're mostly, I think
they don't want to play anyway.
They don't want to play the Bison anyway.
No.
But what I'm hearing is that I don't want to play two seasons in a calendar year.
Players want to play. Let's set the COVID issue aside, because that's a whole different
thing. Yeah, the universities are more scared of it than the players are. The players, I mean, majority of teams that I've seen, like Montana State and Montana, who have already opted out, but they're about, what, 120 athletes on a college football team? Most of them are on scholarship, obviously. About 30 of them want to opt out. The other 90 or so want to play. If 90 of them want to play, let them play. What's wrong with it?
Here's the other problem with... You have to have a championship to win. There has to be something for them to
correct.
Win. Now, easy for us to say when we've won 8 of the last 9.
But also, when you do with this, of the two divisions coming together with the bottom feeders of the FBS and the FCS, doesn't it feel like it still favors the Bison in some way, though?
And for the reasons I just mentioned, because all these teams in their ratings that I just read to you, the Sagarin, the Bison are ahead of all of them. Most of them. I mean, yeah, but, with a few exceptions. But at the end of this process, there is a championship to be won. Instead of playing in the Cure Bowl in front of 18,000 mostly disinterested fans,
mm-hmm.
you are still playing for a national title.
Mm-hmm.
I think the value of being able to win and be proven the best at whatever classification this is called
mm-hmm.
carries weight. If you are NDSU and your ultimate goal, the best you can do is win a bowl game and get some national recognition, they don't need to win bowl games to
do
that.
The Bison get more national recognition than most teams that win bowl games do. I mean, you're at the point where the Bison, they're playing a national championship game on ABC, not ESPN, ABC, at 11 a.m. That's a great spot when people are just getting up and they're turning things on. Oh, this is a championship game. I should watch this. It's more important than the New Orleans Bowl, where only the gamblers are interested in those games. Like, I'll watch the New Orleans Bowl because we had a bet on the line, right, with our bowl picks. I'll watch it, but I'm not going to be like, I don't give a crap who the hell wins that game. I don't care. It's something that piques my interest. Now, when you put the Bison and the Jacks on, I'm interested. But just I don't know if you feel this way like I do, but I feel like the FCS playoffs are more watchable to me than bowl games are.
There's something on the line.
Exactly, just because there's 24 teams, it's a great playoff bracket. Everybody loves it. What they hate about it is the team that always wins it. Then the answer to that is beat them.
What ultimately it comes down to is if you lose a bowl game.
Who cares?
Nobody cares. You got your swag bag. You got a trip to Reno. You got your money.
You got your money in your pocket. You got everything you need.
But it's the same reason that watching any sort of playoff game, and just the NFL playoffs are a good example.
Yeah.
The sense of urgency that it's all over if you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to be said for that. If you don't win, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern day bowl era, that's what makes these group of five wins and these New Year's Six bowl games meaningless. Because in those games, it is the Super Bowl for one team and the other team just really doesn't give a shit.
Because
if Washington loses to Houston, it doesn't matter.
But like if Georgia loses, it's like... But just Georgia being in that game in the first place, it's like...
They've already lost.
Yeah, we're like, we should be playing for a national team, not playing Cincinnati.
And they get bored.
But if it's for Cincinnati, like, we can beat Georgia. Right. They're a blue blood. We can beat Georgia.
And look at Central Florida and the yak, and they did for years after the fact, and they won that game.
I mean, think about if they would have beaten LSU.
They're still ridiculed for it.
Yeah.
So, if the Knight Commission recommendation is, and I think whether it's followed through formally, if not... It will happen organically. It will work itself out that way. By 2030, I think, realistically, that can happen. And I think it will take until the next bowl contract or the CFP contract runs out.
Expires.
And if they expand the playoff, that's the next time to take a look at this.
Then issue. I would reconsider.
Because then... If you're talking about an 18 playoff with access from the group of five, now my opinion changes, because now you've got a realistic shot to be at the table.
Exactly.
Until that point where the playoff is expanded to include it, there is no reason for NDSU to move. There is no reason for them to consider a move. They can do the due diligence on what it would take. But at this point, I think it would be a fool's errand to move to that level given the sets of circumstances we've outlined in this past hour. And that, my friend, is all I have to say.
Isn't it amazing, though, that teams like Coastal, Georgia Southern, those kind of schools, they have no shot at winning a title. They have no shot at making a big bowl game. Why do they go? Money reasons. It's all because of money. Money drives everything these days.
And if the Bison cannot make it work from a money standpoint, and again, you have to risk much to get little return.
Right. And with the Bison recruiting advantages, you're going to have a new indoor practice facility. The Dome is one of the better stadiums in the FCS. The practice facility that's already there.
And you know what?
The recruiting that you have.
They may have won 13 of the last 14 national titles by then.
Now, and people are really going to want them to go somewhere.
The only cautionary tale is that many years ago, everybody said Montana should go up to FBS because they were so great and dominating. What's Montana done in the last 10 years?
Not a damn thing.
Since they got beat by the Bison when they were a D2 school, it's been a rough ride.
Now, remember, they did beat the Bison once. And probably more sad in another game. Probably.
And just like James Madison, and that will be the game they talk about for their, I was there when we beat Carson Wentz. And that's the only Montana football win of any relevance.
But what happened that same season? Oh, they got their ass kicked in the playoffs year. 37-6.
Everybody forgets.
There was no contest.
The rematch in Fargo was an embarrassment. And that was a... That was your boy Bob Stitt running the
90 plays a game.
Running the Chip Kelly offense.
Easton Stick was the quarterback. Like, we got a shot in this game.
In the best of circumstances, with their home stadium and a packed house.
They beat you with 2 seconds left.
Right. It took that long. And the Bison obviously didn't play their best game.
You have to play a perfect game to beat them. And that almost never happens.
Right.
Only JMU really showed you that. If you can turn them over and you can make them miss a long field goal, you got a shot to win that game.
Right. And we're getting more into game by game. That's not what I want to get into.
No, but I'm just telling that. I mean, there are schools like Montana, like you said, have been really good in the past, but they just disappear. Now they're just a middle-of-the-pack team. Montana State's overtaking them now.
So it will be interesting, and we should note that Jeff Choate, the Montana State coach, is gone. He went to Texas.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, according to the loudmouth, NDSU.
As well, I'll jump on your back.
You wholeheartedly endorse this.
I have one last minute thing.
Okay.
Where's Dom from, by the way?
New York.
He's a New York guy.
Oswego.
He doesn't bleed green and yellow like.
Well, he's not supposed to. He's a journalist.
No, but.
Neither is
McFeely. I'm the true fan here. He's just the journalist. I'm the true fan here. I want to win. Okay.
I want to win and crush everybody.
And beat South Dakota State, not beat Army. That's not what I root for the Bison.
Because if I win all those games, I win a trophy and I get to have fun. And I don't have any problem going to Frisco 5 more times. I really don't. You know what? It's what you make of it. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great to party in New Orleans and have fun, but after 2 days, nobody cares. Does anybody hardly remember who beat Coastal Carolina other than you and I?
Other than Liberty?
Yeah, no. Coastal Carolina's success is fleeting. NDSU's success
is still going.
Is for a lifetime. And that, my friend,
is how we end the show, right?
Is how we end the show. We know, and we know why, the argument that NDSU should remain at the FCS level and continue to dominate for as long as they possibly can. Thank you. Get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. Check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina should have never gone FBS in the first place. Grant, how do we find you?
On the Instagram and Snapchat @GrantLegend1. On the TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. It's @legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, don't care. Just DM us, please, and subscribe to YouTube channel.
Very nice. Very nice. Monday, we're back to reviewing the weekend. Not a lot going on. We've got some Bison basketball to take a look at. And we will start breaking down
Super Bowl 55.
VLV. We'll start breaking Vegas. Down here. And then follow up some of our conversational points on tonight's show. But looking forward to that. Starting to break down the week of LV coming up. Thanks for listening, everybody, to The Legend and The Loud One. Good night, everybody.